it is very difficult for me to explain this, but they're trying to do their best to get it through.
No, actually, I'm quite comfortable with what they're explaining. I just wanted to ask whether they're more concerned about people coming to visit them who are unaware of this and cause them problems, or they coming to visit us in a situation where they randomly encounter others, as opposed to meeting with specific people who are aware of these issues and can deal with them. Which are they most concerned about?
It's very difficult to find places that are conducive for them right now.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, the homes that we live in have lots of programmed support of low energy.
Yep.
It's like if everyone's filthy, it's almost impossible not to have a filthy place. The only places they generally feel comfortable is literally in an undisturbed state of place of nature.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Those are like – if they were to come visit, they'd live there.
Yeah, I get that too.
We're not talking about parks and gardens in suburbia.
No.
We're talking about out in
– those are good, but these are more pure.
Mm-hmm. Middle of the woods.
The ocean. I'm being told that's why the Sasquatch have not spent a lot of time with us at this point, because that's their feeling too. But they're actually a very stubborn folk, actually. And if you cross them, they're really quite I don't want to say dangerous, but very disturbing to be around.
So if we had the resources to relocate to a rural place where we could have interactions, that would be the ideal.
Yeah, that's where they would actually like to start. And that's where they have started in the past.
Can they bring us to – can they somehow us to that place so we can – so in other words, if we had an agreement and said, okay, come pick me up, maybe hold me in some kind of tractor beam so that they're not – filtering in whatever might be in the surrounding environment for where I'm staying, and beam me over to this particular place in Gaia and then have that connection and then send me back when they're done. What about those kinds of relationships or arrangements?
Yes, those can happen.
Okay, and how do we
straight answer, that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
But the logistics, and they do deal with logistics, almost everything is energetically pre-planned, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to begin offering that opportunity to yourself and to them, then you'll begin contemplating it enough so that you begin dreaming about it. Because it'll carry over into the dreaming space, and in the dreaming space, it's easier to handle the logistics and play it out so that it plays out on an approved timeline space in your waking state, right? So if you know how, like, when you watch a movie and then you go to sleep and you dream about the movie, or I don't know, this probably doesn't apply to you guys, but you play a lot of video games and you dream about things in the video games. your daily life gets downloaded and gets worked with, the information gets chunked in your broader aspect space, in your dream space. So, take it seriously that you do want to have this interaction, and, get excited about it, play it out. Think of actual locations that you would be willing to go to. Don't assume a tractor beam scenario. That's kind of like a limitation. Figure into your mind and hone your sensitivity to what environments would work for you and under what conditions, and you can begin to start looking at meeting places. Now, I'm going to preface right now. There's lots of people that are doing this. And the people who are at the forefront are those who are doing the most work to prepare themselves for these interactions. Now, when I say prepare themselves, that means the logistics are only going to support so many people at the beginning. It's not going to be like a mass landing of everybody gets to go out to some secluded beach and meet everybody that they want to. It's more of a scenario of once you have this experience, where are you going to take it?
That's what you've been saying.
Like where are you going to hold that responsibility with regards to everyone else?
This is a live call. You would put me off it so you can check the net after you've gone to bed three times?
Terry?
Really?
Hello, Terry. If you can mute yourself, unless you've got a question, then we'll be good.
Yep.
You can deal with the issues. No problem.
All good.
Yep. Sorry, Julie.
Well, that's basically what I'm saying is that you're signing up for what your life will be afterwards, which I didn't know I was getting into. So I was like, whatever. I'm like, this is so awesome. I'm just going with it. So my life is way different now. I'm sure you guys have heard, really sort of jumping into the deep end sort of feeling. But, you know, it's the deep end where you end up in a wormhole where you're in the Alice in Wonderland sort of effect. Like, whoa, what's this whole other way of experiencing life? So, if you have the excitement, it'll make it a lot easier. But also they're saying look to the specifics of what an interaction will do for you. Because they believe many people, once they have that first contact and that level of that space of the abundance of the love as a true soul family has with one another, that you are going to not want to go back, that you'll feel the pain of returning. Yes.
Yeah, I don't want to go back once I go.
Yeah. I'm ready to move. And they know this. They know a lot of people will be like, fantastic, just take me and move on. But all of the ones that are in proximity to Earth right now, they're here for a mission, and they're here for us, to support us in various ways that are complicated. And we're on Earth for a mission too. And so really, if you're ready to check out, you don't have to get on a ship to do that, which sounds horrible, I know. But if you're done, you're done. You know, you'll find a way to peacefully transition yourself, which I don't really want to talk about, and they don't really want to talk about, because it's a crummy thing to think that, you know, we don't want to keep going forward, that we've gotten to a state of energy lack where we don't feel there's any options for us. That's very disturbing for them. But they will do their best to reassure through me that everything is coasting at an awesome, wonderful clip towards our great world that we're all going to be experiencing. I know it sounds Care Bear, cheery, cheer girl, or whatever, cheerleader-ish, but, you know, I can't help it. I'm like a cheerleader now.
I would like to say that it's I'm kind of getting tired of being told I'm crazy.
You're right. Of course.
So it would be nice if somebody, if they woke up enough to, you know, not have it be a adversarial kind of situation.
Right. And really, all of us are in a really tight bind here, because we're outnumbered by people who are not quite in sync with what we're up to, right? But it takes a degree of being humble for the moment where they need a shoulder to talk to about things. It's almost like everybody knows that the people that are going to understand us are the people we once called crazy. And it's happening already. We're getting dialed up by people who are very asleep. I don't know if you've noticed that. But like, you know, discussion of UFOs is kind of new and kind of on the table now. And now it is a little easier to talk about it, right? When people are speaking to the financial structure, you can say, I know it's broken, and I have a really good idea why. You know, and maybe you're interested in knowing what I know at this point. I'm not crazy, but I have plenty of insight that connects all the dots in case you're interested. You know, things like this. So, yeah, it does take a certain tenacity to survive the environment. But really, all you're really talking about with regards to discomfort just comes from not being compatible with energy and feeling that lack of energy in your day-to-day life. And the soul family groupings is the perfect support structure for us. Now, you don't have to be in physical proximity. Just finding your people online is wonderful, as you probably already know. So, many of us are not in physical proximity to each other. And that is actually ideal because of the need to have everybody everywhere. If we didn't have people awake in every single place, then those places would be lacking in terms of having like a lighthouse support. And so the dark can sort of like coalesce in those places and turn them into sort of like dungeons and be real terrible places. If there wasn't just you being in your house uplifts your entire 50-mile surrounding. Okay?
We're
just
creating
by being
a grid,
who you
right?
are.
We're creating a grid, right?
Yeah.
Cross it can be seen as a grid when lighthouses, you know, cross each other.
Yeah.
So right now there's a couple of places on the planet that are overgridded, and makes it conducive for soul families to find each other, like the Pacific Northwest in particular. I'm speaking to that.
Right.
But United States has the most sections of heavy darkness on the entire planet. Israel, North America, no, United States, not all of North America. Canada is much better off, and so is Mexico. Australia is really quite well off. Even England is doing really well. But Italy only has one really dark spot. But America has the most dark outposts, you might say, anti-lighthouse environments. And most of them are in the center of the country. Most are mostly pocketed in the middle.
There I am.
Okay. So it's like a dark house instead of a lighthouse. And so there's going to be heavy contrast under those environments. So typically, second and third wave people don't like hanging out there. They will move. But first wave people will be like, I'm here. I've been in it long enough. I can keep going, you know. But certainly the people who are quite done would be first wave type people.
Julian?
Because they... Yes.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were done. I just wanted to. You shared Allison as a name. It sounded like that they wanted to share the other telephone names on their end.
Not necessarily.
No. Okay.
I'll type them up after this, and I'll put them in the chat.
Okay.
Because the other ones don't necessarily want to be for public.
Oh, I got it. Okay.
Just happened to be that Allison was the one that they were up for.
Julian, it sounds like they have a distinct preference for the way they want to manage this first first run of physical interactions, the way you're describing, in nature.
They have a preference, but they're going to play ball with how the other groups are going to do it. The Pleiadians of all the groups are the most interested in playing ball, actually. They're very, very, very flexible. Sirians have their preferences, the Arcturians have their preferences, and the Andromedans have their preferences. Andromedans are doing their best to keep everyone organized and on the same page. But you are dealing with a lot of personalities and representatives of planets. So it's not, you know, even though they get along real well, there's still the ones that are outside the planet right now in our solar system are a concentration of the most dedicated to the mission. Okay? Even the ones that I communicate with, they have jobs. They're like kids, but on their where they come from, their home planet, they get to be kids without jobs. But here they have jobs. Because they have to occupy a certain amount of their time towards the mission to be around. But they're also training themselves as first contact individuals. And they're training themselves in the first contact ways in terms of interacting with people and being very comfortable to be around. It's well known that the Pleiadians in general look the most human. But remember that Pleiadians are actually a very large diversity of appearances as well. Like, there's some really tall ones. And the space that I go and visit when I'm remote viewing or whatever, where I'm seeing them, it's a very specific group of individuals, and they try to look as human as possible. In fact, they started wearing human clothes just to see what I would think of it. But they're kind of doing it wrong. They're kind of like, don't know how to match clothes up and stuff.
I'll be their consultant.
Well, it's like one of them the other day was like, how do I look? I'm like, well, you're wearing jean overalls and like a tutu. It's just something's wrong. You know, it's not quite. It's like, oh, but the tutu's all, you know, wonderful and fairy. And the overalls are like, I like to work with the land. I'm like, screwed it up. This is not working, you know. So, yeah, it's like you're doing it wrong.
Watch Alice in Wonderland.
Yes. So you've probably heard of Alice.
Yes.
Alice is a Pleiadian that is very curious and is just dying to come down here. She's trying to, like, earn the right to be literally on the first ship down in the public. And she's a child. She's like a 12-year-old, okay? But she has so much passion. She's literally melting everyone around her that's opposing her opportunity to come down. Now, there are a couple Pleiadians that are, and Sirians especially, that got real excited after the Sirius premiere came out. And they were kind of like, I can do what I want. You know, I'm sovereign. I have my own rights to my life. And they just started taking ships and flying around and trying to get our attention. They're like, yippee, like joyriding, essentially, is what I called it. And they're like, yeah, let them do that, you know. But at the same time, they had to set up security details so they didn't get shot out of the air and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they let them do that, but at the same time, it involved radical logistics on the spot to keep them safe. So, you know, they're very much, you know, no one left behind like the army does. Like, no one gets left behind. So they really care for every single individual. They would not even allow one person to come down here if they were not very well secured.
They have
now,
each
what I'm trying to do, they have each other's back at a high degree.
Yeah.
It's like you wouldn't let your little brother go to the mall by himself if he was only 12 years old and he'd never been to the mall before and he had all this money. Because all you're going to do is you're going to get people going to prey on him. You know, and at the same time, with all that they've observed of human life, they just don't want to spend the time looking at why we have all these limitations. All they want to do is just remove them. They just want to free us. They just want to take the chains off and just get it done with and remove them. But
okay.
The opposition to that is crazy, and they're afraid, quite seriously. They're not happy with that. So they're in the same 3D state of consciousness that we're at for the most part, and they're learning to use their own discernment and higher selves to guide them as well. You might think someone who lives for hundreds of years should have some discernment by now in terms of accessing their higher self, but no, not necessarily. They're like us. 100-year-old isn't necessarily more conscious than a 3-year-old, you know? So at this time, they're learning from our awakening in a big way, and they're getting lessons too. So when they watch The Collective Imagination, that's like one of their favorite shows, actually, because they love hearing about the personal growth route and the expansiveness of our imagination in the degree that it supports our sovereignty. Because, yeah, they have certain structures, and people are be like, you know, Heather said, you know, this. And they're like, well, I don't think Heather was thinking about this when she was saying that. You know, absent limits doesn't mean you could just jump out the air locker and have a great time. You know, there's a good reason why we have air lockers. You know, things like this. So it did lead to a little bit of rambunctiousness, but that state of exploration has settled a bit. And actually, the Syrians are still highly charged by the absent limits concepts, because they're like, they're really pushing everybody's buttons at this point. And to a degree where it almost seems like they're forgetting the mission in the first place, because they're very, very excited about the absent limits development. And when they look at me and they see my expansion and those that I'm with, like my soul family, and they observe them through my interaction with them, they're apparently getting very huge downloads themselves. They're getting very huge upgrades in perspective. Because now they're looking at how that works down here. In their society, they don't have all these limits that we have here. They don't have the kind of darkness set, and they aren't standing in muck the way that we are. I don't even like using it called muck, because you know, all energy serves for the experience. They're just not ready for that level of contrast. So I'm involved here to introduce them to that. And more, the reason why we have you all here is they'd like to hear a bit more and empathize with you all, because I don't want to say they want to put cameras on you, but just getting to hear you is a download. Just hearing your voice is a download of seeing that there's many people in many spaces and different experiences, you know? Like Alma over there is smiling.
Hi!
And that is actual...
Is that a download?
It is a download for them.
Ooh,
because
cool.
they gain a level of confidence that we can be happy here when they have no idea why we're happy. They have no idea how we could possibly be happy. Like, we're like a lost cause. You know? Like, oh, there's no way they're getting out of that, almost. There's no way. I'm like, no. We're stubborn. We can be happy easily.
Yeah, well, we have to cheerfully admit we just don't know any better.
Well, yes. we're happy in spite. I think that's what it is. In spite,
happy
of,
in spite
yes. of the so that,
yeah.
Yes.
I know. I worked a long time to get here.
The next step, and we're going to keep on going.
But also remember, they do see us as frontline warriors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we are really the ones with the balls that have come out. I mean, you know, they've got balls just to be here on the mission around the planet, but we're the ones with, like, iron balls to be here and deal with this.
The big cojones.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're right.
So it's, you know, when I show up, they're like, drop what you're doing. What does Julian want to talk to us about? You know, it's like, you don't have to drop what you're doing. You know, I'm just, you know. But see, when I do like a remote view, it's actually I put a part of my attention there. So there's an aspect of myself. So I create my own like sort of hologram almost that they can perceive because they're energy sensitive. What is it called? Chris, you know the word where
projection.
You have like
projection,
not projection. Yeah. They have another word for
avatar.
It. Bilocation.
Yeah, bilocation.
Bilocation is what I'm doing. And when I bilocate, it's distracting, right? They're like, whoa, this guy just showed up. I mean, it happens there. There's people showing up bilocating all the time. But, you know, usually it's by accident, and the bilocated individual doesn't take note of the surroundings. They're there for whatever they're there for, to do something. But when I've bilocated to a couple spaces that I, you know, like, oh, my God. I don't know if you heard the story about me bilocating onto an Andromedan bridge. I was like, oh, yeah. Shoot, this is awkward.
Apparently Captain Kirk was not amused.
Wandered in, did you?
Yeah, but I did it by holding on to my higher being's hand. So I was like a child following my higher being onto the bridge, and I was like a child. I was like, oh shoot, what do I do here? You know, everyone stops, and it's like, you know, it's like a real big, and the bridge is big. It's like. It kind of reminds me a little bit of that Grand Central Station in New York City. It's big open space, and there's like a central area. They have like this clock thing, and there's these huge monitors around, and lots of people coming and going and stuff. There's like 50 people in there, and they just all like stopped, and they looked at me like, and they tried not to project because they know that if they projected that they were worried or like. They want to ask me, who are you? What are you doing here? They're really quite good at that, I guess. But at the same time, it's like, I probably wouldn't have been able to find myself there if my higher being didn't have, you know, his own balls to walk up there and do this. But, you know, I have one of those greater aspects that really does whatever he pleases. And most of the ones here that you guys are a part of are a little bit like that too, because otherwise we would not be able to develop our personal sovereignty within our lifetime. Because we demand a certain amount of control over our lives. We just won't submit, so to speak, or we won't submit completely. But anyhow, sometime we'll do a discussion where we have the Andromedan collective show up, because they chat up a storm if you give them a chance, and they love talking shop and talking business. Actually, Pleiadians like talking love and cuddly and and happiness, because they say, well, that's where everything starts from anyways. You have to be happy before you do anything, and then all wonderful things come from there, you know. Like, start being in the flow, and then you can decide what you can do with all the energy that comes with being in the flow. That's their medium of going forward. But take note that Pleiadians involve, like, the majority of them are young souls, and you and I, this group here, are not young souls. None of us here are. And the 5D, like Alma, who's there, she's considered an old soul, or matron soul. I don't even know what that means, but that's what I was told.
Julian, a matron in our social context is a woman in charge of some aspect of an institution, like a head nurse.
Okay.
Okay, that's...
Yeah.
That's...
So, yeah, they really... They're very... they take care of the kids, almost. I don't want to say that that's, like... Sounds like fun to me, but... They're reviewing their developments. They're there to answer questions, and they're there to offer support and guidance. But they're also really, really wise people, so like anybody can ask them questions. And it's like in this particular group, it's like 1 to 20 or 1 to 30. Now, they do have commanders, pleading commanders, but they're not going to join us right now. They're, I don't know, commanding or something.
Doing what commanders do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're doing whatever they do. But one of these days I want to do a day in the life of a Pleiadian. Sort of like follow the life and what they go through when they wake up. And when they go through their duties and through the things that they like. But literally, I've already done this with a couple of my friends where I started doing this and I started explaining one that would come to me and literally give me a really, really strong visual of what's going on as they go through the day. So you get a little bit of an idea what it's like living in their environment. Which is really cool for me because, you know, I don't know what they're going to tell me moment to moment. But they're like very, very people-like. They're like people. They're not like, you know, what we think of as ascended masters or super spiritual. I mean, they are spiritual because that's inherent in understanding things. But they're not, you know, they don't preach to anybody. They don't repeat any sort of like lessons and stuff like that. Like they won't read from the Bible sort of equivalent. They'll just say in the moment the perfect syntax of exactly what is useful to whoever they're sharing with. Right? So they don't repeat anything. The only that's not true. They repeat me. They say, Julian said actually quite a bit. Julian said,
Julian said,
yeah. So,
Look, Julian, you know, if you're the first human who's really communicating at this level publicly, it's going to happen. Relax.
I'm one of the first people. Yeah, I'm not the only person, but there's about six other people doing the exact same thing that I'm doing, and only one of them speaks English.
Mm-hmm.
I'm being told.
Interesting.
Well, it's silly of us to think that you know, we're the only group actually doing this, given the size of the planet. Sure. And the language barrier is significant to us. But
yeah,
and look, I just wanted to kind of round out the conversation about their concerns on those you know, the personal space issues. From my perspective, there are so many different cultures on this planet that if I'm interacting with people from another culture, I expect to go to experience different things in terms of personal interactions, you know, physical and spoken, body language, etc.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really a problem from our end, but we just need to know, to have some expectation of you know, the way the Pleiadians actually live and behave amongst themselves. And that's very straightforward. Mm-hmm. The energetic aspect requires quite a lot of information from them to us so that we understand the source of this issue. And for the greater community, that would be a very strange thing to be discussing here. Because they're not taught energetics in any way socially. It's only through the lightworker community and people like Peter Shelton and Michael Monk that information's coming forward. So it's just information that's required at this point in time. As far as going to areas that they consider to be energetically comfortable for them, well, you know, we're happy to accommodate obviously.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That all makes sense. So I don't see a lot of problems at our end, provided the information can be put out.
Well, there is one problem that they're pinging me with that they want me to explain, is that how do I say this without spooking people?
Just spit it out.
Not to worry at this point.
Most people have implants. Negative implants,
etheric implants
that will be able to tell if you are preparing for a meeting, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what you need to do is either become incompatible as a power source for that implant's functionality, or you need to go through a healing that will detect and remove them. And under that situation, you have a much higher probability of being sort of like a safe person that they can approach. Because it's kind of like your butt, so to speak.
Had them removed. I've had them removed.
But you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Look, if we're receiving those in our food, for instance, it might be a case of making sure that we're clean.
No, they're not typically the food. The food just adjusts your energy state to make it so that your energy state provides more energy to the implants or to the etheric bugs that stick around.
Right? And what's the source of them, usually? Where are they coming from?
Sources are basically all sorts of sources that have an interest in your energy. Right? At many different levels.
Oh, okay. So it's...
Without consent, when they're not interested in having consensual arrangements made with you.
Mm-hmm.
So they're breaking rules.
So if you
what they use is they use very low consciousness technology, so they sort of like say, well, you know, I'm not doing it, that thing's doing it.
Mm-hmm. So if you've been cleaned out once, does that mean you are clean, or do you need to be?
No, well, if you still exhibit energy that's useful to these sources, they'll find their way back into your life. So what you might actually do is you might do a full body clean, a full body healing if possible, maybe not, but if you could do like a salt bath and basically smudge your environment so that nothing can live that would want to reattach to you as soon as you get out of the shower or the salt bath, and you carry some things that will protect and enhance your energy sphere, your bubble, because they actually need to borrow in like drills to get to the really juicy stuff. But you can keep them to the outside of your energy field if you have things that strengthen your field, like crystals in your pockets and things like this.
Mm-hmm. Look, that's all just information. You know, that's just a procedure we need to follow to make sure we're as clean as possible.
Yeah, you can do that, and then you can be in a really good compatible state for the visitation.
Yeah, that's it. It's not, all the people in this call have been exposed to those concepts already. It's not spooky at all for us. So it's just a procedure, part of the procedure we need to follow, which is just information. So,
yeah.
And this is where it begins. I can completely understand that. Absolutely. Yes.
Not that you don't have abundant, wonderful light underneath the surface, but, you know, they rather have the best of you.
We get the message, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, it's getting a bit late here, and I need to head out for my own dinner at this point. I'm not without food yet. I'm not at that energy state. But, I mean, do we have any other big questions that people wanted to get out there?
Look, only if there's any other messages that aren't being spread heavily enough from them by us in the shows, like Collective Imagination or the One People Show, whatever we can do. If there's any messages that need to be more emphasized or new ones, that would be great to hear from.
Based on timelines, the Pleiadians do not play with our timelines. Mm-hmm. They do not tickle the timelines. The Arcturians do, and the Andromedans certainly do. maybe too much. And the Galactic Federation of Light does way too much tickling of timeline manipulation or promotion. Not manipulation, but they promote. But the Pleiadians and this company right here, they are very hands-off. They know that all they can offer is their loving and support. And they're doing like a group hug. They're all getting together around the camera like this. They're holding each other. And they want to share that.
The group,
like, yes, we're together. Yeah. We're a team. We're with you.
Yep. Well, one thing I've been saying on the shows of late is we're all on the same team, and you know that's them too. That is them too. You know, that's all that's going on around here. It's just the
bigger
people.
Bigger team.
Big team. Yep.
It's just bigger and bigger. It's great.
So right back at you guys.
The 13 that came here, they all asked to come for this group. Do they have any questions for any of us that are here?
Well, if you're going to offer, then they're going to ask questions.
Sure.
Offer the space. Okay, just let's keep it down to 3. Oh, that's... Yeah, okay, they're not, like, heavy-hitting questions. Okay, do any of you own animals by any chance? We know Chris has a dog, but do any of you own, like, a pet?
Rose, kitty.
Okay.
No, for the first time in my life, I don't. I've always had dogs.
Okay.
Yeah, my 2 dogs left last summer.
I just moved into a place that has a cat. It's not my cat. It's my roommate's cat. But, you know, I get to pet it and stuff. Okay. So, yeah, I've got a cat around here.
So if you're willing to share their names, they can work with the higher beings of the pets, and they may be up for etheric cameras on them.
Great.
They already have done it with Chris's dog.
Great. Rose is the cat. She's up for it. She loves energy and high energies.
Okay. Yep. They're already energetically petting her. This is really weird. Because I can... What they'll do is they'll establish the signature, and they'll basically bring up like a hologram, which is like a... I don't know how to explain it, but they can actually sort of like caress.
She's got the look like on her face like someone's scratching the back of her neck. You should see her face. It's actually
That's gorgeous.
That's
awesome. Yeah, because almost always animals are up for good relationships. Okay. Okay, that was the first question. They're reminding me that this is going to start an avalanche. If anyone else listening to this wants to send me the names of their pets that they'd be willing to share in this environment as well, we can put
Julian's
cameras on
busy.
Them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They may need some etheric kitty litter.
They can put them on put them in the comment section where you post the stuff, and that way you won't have to come directly to you.
Right. Yeah, you can do it in the comments, or if we're already friends on Facebook, you can send me that or wherever.
Can these guys directly read any of this material on the internet? Would there be a place where these guys can put it without necessarily, you know, jamming up your communications, Julian? Cosmic Room, for instance.
I'm just going to say no for right now, and that gets into a couple things that is not for this conversation.
Sure.
But no, so it's very ideal for me to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very ideal for me to go about and read them. Because even if they're watching while I do it, they can look at the recordings. You know?
Yes.
I mean, I could even make a list. I can write them in a Word document or something like that, and they can show it to them in the moment. If you do want to do that, those listening to the recording, we'll just stop it there. That's good enough for right now. We might follow up on that.
Yes.
We'll get to the second question that they have. This is for BZ. BZ, you have access, or you may have access to some crystals that are relatively large. And they want, only one of them is saying this. They're saying, you have some really special crystals that you have access to, and they highly suggest you spend time with them.
Okay.
Because they're, the crystals literally went all the way to them to tell me to tell you to, that you need to spend some time with them.
Okay.
Wow. That's a loop.
Message received.
I got it.
That means stroking.
That's hilarious.
Whatever, touching, staring at them. Oh.
Taking a
flop. And awkward.
And dust them off.
Actually licking them. Bill okay. will do well as well.
Private moments.
You know, this, I can't make this up.
No, no, you can't, actually.
Okay.
Alrighty.
My goodness. Okay, so...
It's okay. I'll do it.
Okay. And get back to me if you feel anything you want to talk about there.
Okay.
The third one... this one's a bit more complicated. Would you do this? They're not making an agreement for etheric cameras. What they can do is an energy, a shared energy experience. The next time that you come across a meal, I'm telling you, this is weird stuff. Next time you come across a meal that you particularly respect and enjoy, declare that you are sharing this meal with the 13 here. And you can share it and feel them and sort of like hold out bites, but then enjoy as you take bites, and they'll be able to experience this. And they would be absolutely overjoyed to experience that energy. It's an invitation, and it's quantum, so it doesn't mean that they're necessarily there with you in the moment. But what you do is you project that information out to them so they can access it. And it'll be there when they want to receive it. And that's a one-shot thing. So just if you have, you know, you love pepperoni pizza and you're going to have pepperoni pizza, you say, let's share this pepperoni pizza together. And they would just love that because their food tastes like cardboard. And relative to ours, our food is very potent. Their taste buds are very, very, very subtle. And so they can get the essence of what you're experiencing without actually burning their tongue from the pepperoni or something. Okay. If you're willing to do that.
Sure,
and this is just like for those here on the live recording. This is not set up for those listening to recordings because they're just going to have too much of a buffet going on. You know, if everybody did that. But we can work on something in the future, a food tasting exchange. And what I mean by that is they're willing to give me relative recipes of some things that they like to eat. So
you look, that would be a really, really interesting thing to do. Have a little food exchange.
This sounds like great fun.
Mm.
Well, it's what the hell? It's a cauldron. They're saying it's something like a cauldron, like a lucky cauldron, like a gold pot cauldron, potluck.
Potluck.
That's what it's potluck.
It's a potluck.
It's like a potluck.
Exactly.
What the hell? Roundabout way. So,
I'm just visualizing me at a restaurant giving food.
Do they eat salads, Julian?
Yes, they do eat salads. They eat everything if the food is respected. So it can be meat as well if you eat meat. But I'm just going to let you know that it'll take a little bit more to get them to try it, food, because they have personal things. They're all vegetarian relatively, right? And they won't hold, they don't hold it against us to eat meat at all. They just want to make sure that we respect our meat. Then the meat feels welcomed into the experience of being ingested rather than being forced into being ingested.
What about dark chocolate? They like dark chocolate.
They love chocolates. They do. But dark chocolate would practically destroy their taste buds all in one shot. They actually have our dark chocolate. They have like very, very, very waxy chocolate. Very little sugar. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm gonna close this down for now. I don't know how long this conversation is at this point, but
1:53:54
Almost 2 hours.
Excellent.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, we're gonna try to do another call with hopefully some other people here. I know a couple people were hoping to get a chance. And we'll do this on Saturday at my time at 7. And then Sunday we'll do an earlier time. I'm not sure. But that'll depend on if we have a number of people interested.
I think you've got a lineup since this one started.
Okay.
Hey, Julian, Julian, post some recipes on Facebook.
Yeah, well, I wasn't going to go into it right now. They have like these wafer crackers that to me just sound kind of boring. But the wafer cracker can embody any flavor you want. So it can taste like bacon, but the texture will remain like a cracker. Really messed up stuff. But anyway. They're telling me it's great, it's great, it's portable, it's crunchy.
That's practical.
I'm waiting for the replicators myself.
So, yeah, the replicators is what they use most of the time. But at the same time, they're really fond of making their own food from scratch. They just they do it like maybe once or twice a week.
So if they're
do it as a big group.
They're going to make a salad. Would they? You said that they can grow their plants, so they would sit down, you know, maybe say, let's have a get-together at 7 o'clock at night, and
so,
they come
so
in
they
and
don't
grow
have,
plants?
They don't have our plants. Okay? They don't have our flora and fauna. They can't actually reproduce the food exactly the way we do it. They have to, because that involves, like, genetically creating reproductions of stuff. And they don't do that. They would prefer to literally go get the seeds and bring them back and do that. So what they have is when they make food, they'll the process is that they would get it as close to the base element. So they'll have like a head of lettuce, and then they'll work from there forward. The lettuce will be an energetic pattern that has been scanned in.
What?
Okay.
Shit.
Well, they can.
Yeah.
They could tell us, you know, if they had a list of seeds and stuff they wanted, and you know, we give them.
Oh, they want it. They want everything.
Well, yeah. We can gather them and then come get them. You know, at night and
Well, that can be.
That is not allowed right now.
No.
That is not allowed because of health quarantining type issues.
Yeah.
That is off the chart. That is not available as an option right now. There will be actual physical exchanges, but that process is not going to happen quick. Okay. Well, all right. I'm gonna shut down for tonight. I'm glad you guys came in with your questions and your experiences. This group that's observing is just overjoyed that we had this opportunity. They've been pushing for it now, and they don't.
Julian, do they have a name for this committee amongst themselves?
They call it the OP, but I don't know what that means.
Can they tell you?
It's not. They're calling it the Oneness Place.
We'll give them a shout out on the shows.
Okay. You can.
Because if they're,
it's not going to be the same 13 next time, the next one.
Well, we'll do it anyway.
Yeah.
No, the oneness place is the space they set up for these interactions.
The interactions. Well, yeah. Excellent.
So all the other planes get to live vicariously through this interaction. Just like others who get to listen to the recordings of this. So, okay. Take care, guys.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Yeah. Awesome. Bye. Night.
Bye.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.